Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we're back. Craig, are you there? What was that woman's name that interviewed Trump? Do you remember? Caitlin Collins from CNN. And she, you know, the idea was they were going to ambush Trump. They were going to get there and they were going to try to get him to lose his temper or whatever. And boy, he just destroyed him. And so, let's go ahead. And this is the town hall that took place, what was it, yesterday or the day before?
I think 2 days ago.
2 days ago. So go ahead and play that clip.
A bit before that.
Right, so that's my question.
Me.
Because in that 3 hours, over 140
officers
were injured.
It was posted after the first one I just read, though, and that was at 2 o'clock.
But I think the reason the timeline is so critical here, because going back to your influence, in
that
3 hours, over 140 officers were injured that day.
And a person named Ashley Babbitt was killed.
Yes.
You know what? She was killed, and she shouldn't have been killed. And that thug that killed her, there was no reason to shoot her. At blank range, cold blank range, they shot her. And she was a good person. She was a patriot. There was no reason. And he went on television to brag about the fact that he killed her.
The officer was not bragging about the fact that he killed her. But
bragging.
One person who was at the Capitol that day, as you know, was your vice president, Mike Pence, who says that you endangered his life on that day.
I don't think he was in any danger.
Mr. President, do you feel that you owe him an apology?
No, because he did something wrong. He should have put the votes back to the state legislatures, and I think we would have had a different outcome. I really do.
But he doesn't have the authority to do that, as you know.
What?
The vice president does not have the authority to reject those
election results. Let's have this one out just now, because it's interesting. Let's keep it interesting, right? I like Mike Pence very much. He's a very fine man. He's a very nice man. He made a mistake. His lawyer said, you cannot move. I called him the human conveyor belt. I said, even if the votes, you mean, I talked to his lawyer, even if the votes are absolutely fraudulent, he can't. Yes, sir, he can't send back. And the Democrats played it and the rhinos played it. And then the election was over. They told him he couldn't do it. And Mike said to me, I can't do it. The lawyers told me he can't do it. They can't do it. But the lawyers were wrong. Because right after the election, they all met, the rhinos and the Democrats, and they worked out a plan to make sure that future vice presidents don't do what I said you could do.
That's not what happened. You're referring to the Electoral Count Act. I've read that. There is no authority.
No,
legal experts, including Republican legal experts, say that he does not have that authority, Mr.
Caitlin,
President. But I want to
move on.
Why
did they change the law then, saying that you can't do it?
They didn't change the law. They strengthened the law because they were worried about
presidents
exploiting.
Oh, they strengthened it, meaning you could do it.
That's not what it means.
Thank you.
They strengthened the law.
Mike had the right to do it. They convinced him he didn't, and it was a horrible thing for our country. If you would have sent those votes back to Georgia, Pennsylvania, and other states, Wisconsin, which if you look at Wisconsin, they've virtually admitted now that the election was rigged. If you would
have
sent those votes back to many of those states, they would not come back in the affirmative. And remember what I said, and you just said it pretty much. You admitted what I said was right. They said he didn't have the right to do it, and he did have the right to do it, and that's why they changed the law, taking that right away.
I should note that your campaign paid for a recount that happened in Wisconsin. It actually had more votes for President Biden by the end of it. But I want to move on to Wayne Beyer. He's a retired attorney from North Conway.
So many illegal votes were cast in Wisconsin. And if you look in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, they had so many illegal votes, they didn't even know what to do with them. You're absolutely wrong.
Mr. President, there weren't any fraudulent votes in Wisconsin. I do want to get to the audience, though. We have questions for you from the audience. Wayne Beyer is a retired attorney from North Conway. He has previously served in Republican administrations. He volunteered for the Republican Party in the 2022 midterms. He voted for you in 2020. What's your question for the president, Wayne?
Thank you for coming, Mr. President.
Thank you, Wayne.
My question to you is, will you pardon the January 6 rioters who were convicted of federal offenses?
I am inclined to pardon many of them. I can't say for every single one because a couple of them probably they got out of control. But, you know, when you look at Antifa, what they've done to Portland, and if you look at Antifa, look at what they've done to Minneapolis and so many other places. Look at what they did to Seattle and BLM. Many people were killed. These people, I'm not trying to justify anything. But you have two standards of justice in this country, and what they've done, and I love that question, because what they've done to so many people is nothing. Nothing. And then what they've done to these people, they've persecuted these people. And yeah, my answer is, I am most likely, if I get in, I will most likely, I would say it will be a large portion of them. You know, they did a very... And it'll be very early on. And they're living in hell right now.
So when it comes
they're
to
living
pardons...
in hell. And they're policemen, and they're firemen, and they're soldiers, and they're carpenters and electricians, and they're great people. Many of them are just great people.
Mr. President, one of the people who was convicted was a former policeman, but he was convicted of attacking a police officer, I should note. But when you said you are considering pardoning a large portion of those charged with crimes on January 6th, does that include the four Proud Boys members who were charged and convicted of seditious conspiracy?
I don't know. I'd have to look at their case. But I will say, in Washington, D.C., you cannot get a fair trial. You cannot. Just like in New York City, you can't get a fair trial either.
Speaking of New York, I want to ask you about a significant verdict that was reached yesterday. I know this is something you want to weigh in on as well. A Manhattan jury found that you sexually abused the writer E. Jean Carroll and defamed her. You've denied this. But what do you say to voters who say it disqualifies you from being president?
Well, there aren't too many of them because my poll numbers just came out. They went up. Okay. I'm the only person in history who had a charge like that. And usually you leave office, you say, I'm sorry, but I'm going to back home. I'm back home to my family and everything. I'm going to be resigned. My poll numbers went up, and they went up with the other fake charge, too, because what's happening is they're doing this for election interference. This woman, I don't know her. I never met her. I have no idea who she is. I had a picture taken years ago with her and her husband, nice guy, John Johnson. He was a newscaster, very nice man. She called him an ape. Happens to be African-American. Called him an ape. The judge wouldn't allow us to put that in. Her dog or her cat was named Vagina. The judge wouldn't allow to put that in. All of these things. But with her, they can put in anything. Access,
this
Hollywood,
put in anything.
This
was a jury of nine people who found you liable of sexual abuse. Do you think that will deter women from voting for you?
No, I don't think so, because I think the whole thing, just so you understand, ready? I never met this woman. I never saw this woman. This woman said, I met her at the front door of Bergdorf Goodman, which I rarely go into other than for a couple of charities. I met her in the front door. She was about 60 years old then. This is like 22, 23 years ago. I met her in the front door of Bergdorf Goodman. I was immediately attracted to her, and she was immediately attracted to me. And we had this great chemistry. We're walking into a crowded department store. We had this great chemistry, and a few minutes later, we end up in a room, a dressing room, at Bergdorf Goodman, right near the cash register. And then she found out there are locks on the door, so she said, I found one that was open. She found one. She learned this at trial. She found one that was open. What kind of a woman meets somebody and brings them up, and within minutes, you're playing hanky-panky in a dressing room, okay? I don't know if she was married then or not. John Johnson, I feel sorry for you, John Johnson.
Mr. President, can I...
No, but think of it. Think of it.
I know you're recounting what she said, but Mr. President.
But let me just, if I could, because you asked a question.
This was a jury,
just so you understand,
though.
If I was walking in at the bar, because I was very famous then, and I owned the Plaza Hotel right next door, and I owned buildings around it, I'm not going into a dressing room of a crowded department store. Then I say, if she was being raped, and by the way, they said she wasn't raped, okay? That was her charge. It wasn't.
They found
they
that
did,
you sexually
they found,
abused her.
They said he didn't rape her. And I didn't do anything else either. You know what? Because I have no idea who the hell she is.
But, Mr. President,
I don't know who this woman
is. Can
I
ask you, given your recounting your
version... I don't
know
who... And I tell you this.
But, Mr. President...
Are you ready?
Can I
ask you,
because...
And I swear on my children, which I'd never do, I have no idea who this woman... This is a fake story, made-up story. We had a horrible Clinton-appointed judge. He was horrible. He allowed her to put everything in... He allowed us to put nothing in.
Mr. President,
this is a
you're
fake
recounting your version
story.
Of events here right now to the audience. You referenced the trial. You did not go to the trial and actually
right.
testify. Do you wish that you had testified?
No, it wouldn't have made a difference. This was a rigged deal. This was a... My lawyer said, sir, you don't have to do it. I actually said, I think I should. It would be respectful. They said, sir, don't do it. This is a fake story, and you don't want to give it credibility.
One
That's why
you,
I didn't go.
One thing you did do in this...
And I swear, and I've never done that, and I swear to I have no idea who the hell. She's a whack job.
Mr. President, you did not testify in person in this trial. There was a taped deposition of you from October, and you defended the comments that you made on that Access Hollywood tape about being able to grab women how you want. Do you stand by those comments?
I said if you're famous and rich or whatever I said, but I said if you're a star, you are, and I said, women let you. I didn't say you grip. I said women let. You know, you didn't use that word. But if you look, women let you. Now, they said, will you take that back? I said, look, for a million years, this is the way it's been. I want to be honest. This is the way it's been. I can take it back if you'd like to. But if you're a famous person, if you're a star, and I'm not referring to myself. I'm saying people that are famous, people that are
stars.
You
were asked in the deposition,
people that are rich,
to be a star,
people that are powerful.
Yes.
They tend to do pretty well in a lot of different ways, okay? And you would like me to take that back? I can't take it back because it happens to be true. I said it's been true for 1 million years, approximately 1 million years, perhaps a little bit longer than that.
So you stand by those comments?
Well, I don't want to lie.
Mr. Oh, President,
here's
we have a lot of
here's what she wants
Mr. President,
me to say.
Let's get to the audience questions tonight.
A rich and famous person has no advantage over anyone else. Well, you do have an advantage. And I say unfortunately, but that's the way it is.
You said fortunately or unfortunately.
Well, fortunately,
but Mr. President,
or unfortunately
we have a lot of audience questions to get to tonight. I want to go back to the audience. We've got Danielle Rieger. She works as an oral surgery assistant. She's a Republican activist from Derry. She was a New Hampshire delegate for you in 2020. What's your question?
Hi, thank you so much for coming to New Hampshire to answer our questions. My question is regarding the economy. Over the past 2 years, we have seen the prices for everything skyrocket. From food to gas to utilities and insurance costs, many people's bills are up several hundred dollars a month, including mine. If elected president again, what is the first thing you would do to help bring down the cost to make things more affordable?
Drill, baby, drill. We were energy independent. We were soon going to be energy dominant. And nobody had ever done what I did. We got oil down to $1.87. Actually, it fell lower than that in some cases. We had to save the oil companies. The price was getting so. We were doing incredibly. We had the greatest economy in the history of our country, probably the greatest economy in the history of the world. We were energy independent, soon to be energy dominant. We were going to be bigger than Russia and Saudi Arabia put together times two. We have more liquid gold under our feet than any other nation. Any other nation. And these stupid fools ended it. And energy went from $1.87 and even lower for gasoline, for a car. They went from $1.87 to $5, $6, $7, $8 and even $9. And your electricity bills went through the roof. Your heating bills went through the roof. And that's what started inflation, and it hasn't stopped because people are paying now for bacon and for eggs and for the 2 and 3 times what it was just a little while ago. We created the greatest economy in history. A big part of that economy was got you the biggest tax cuts in the history of our country, bigger than the Reagan cuts, bigger than any cut. And also, Caitlin, also, as you know, we got the biggest regulation and regulatory cuts. This place was rocking, and then we were given a gift from China, and China paid a big price. And let me tell you something. I took in hundreds of billions of dollars in taxes from China, but prior to COVID coming in, and then I rebuilt the economy again a second time. But we had, prior to COVID coming in as from China, from Wuhan, which I said it came from Wuhan. Everybody said, oh, you're wrong about that. You're wrong. It came from Wuhan. I said it right from day one. So we had the greatest economy in the world. Here's the story. They made energy so high, and energy is all invasive. It is massive as an industry and as a cost. It lifted everything.
If
you made
donuts,
no matter what you did, and we had inflation, the likes of which I guess we haven't had, as they said, for 52 years, but I think more than that. We had no inflation. We had the lowest energy prices we've had in decades. This country was rocking and rolling. And by the way, we had the most secure border in the history of our country.
Mr. President, we have more questions on the economy. I want to make sure we get to all of those. As you know, the U.S. right now could be just 3 weeks away from defaulting on its debt. That could mean millions of jobs lost, people not getting their Social Security payments. People believe it would put the U.S. economy into a recession. On that topic, I want to bring in Marta Cervella, a student here at St. Anselm. She is an undeclared voter who did not vote in 2020. Marta, what's your question?
Hi, Mr. President.
Hi, thank you.
So my question is, what do you think about the United States' current debt situation, and how can we move forward?
Such an important question. So we're at $33 trillion, a number that nobody ever thought possible. When we had our economy rocking and rolling just prior to COVID coming in, like literally, we were making a fortune. And oil, we were going to make so much money from oil, we were going to start paying off debt. But then with COVID coming in, we had to do other things. We had to keep this country alive because it was so serious. But we have to get the country back. We have to lower energy prices. We have to lower interest rates. Interest rates are through the roof. Energy has to come down. It all has to come down. And we have to start paying off debt. But when we have a debt limit, and they use that very seriously on me, they came in, Schumer came in with Nancy Pelosi, and they were using it. We'll violate it. We'll do whatever. They talked a whole lot different than they do right now. I say to the Republicans out there, congressmen, senators, if they don't give you massive cuts, you're going to have to do a default. And I don't believe they're going to do a default because I think the Democrats will absolutely cave because you don't want to have that happen. But it's better than what we're doing right now because we're spending money like drunken sailors.
So just to be clear, Mr. President, you think the U.S. should default if the White House does not agree to the spending cuts Republicans are demanding?
Well, you might as well do it now because you'll do it later. Because we have to save this country. Our country is dying. Our country is being destroyed by stupid people, by very stupid people.
You once said that using the debt ceiling as a negotiating wedge just could not happen. You said that
sure.
When you were in the
That's
Oval Office.
That's when I was president.
So why is it different now that you're out of office?
Because now I'm not president.
The U.S. defaulting would be massively consequential for everyone in this room, for all Americans.
You don't know. It's psychological. It's really psychological more than anything else. And it could be very bad. It could be maybe nothing. Maybe you have a bad week or a bad day. But look, you have to cut your costs. We're spending $7 trillion on, much of it on nonsense. $7 trillion on nonsense.
We've got another question
from a
voter tonight.
Get all of that money that was wasted, and frankly, the Senate should have never approved it. Get all that money that was wasted, and if they don't get rid of that, you'll have to default. Okay?
Mr. President, we've got another voter here tonight.
And by the way, you're going to default eventually anyway, but it's going to be much messier. I don't think you'll have to default. I think if the Republicans hold strong and they say we want $5 trillion off, I really think the Democrats have no choice but to do it. And if I win, they're going to be doing the same thing to me in 2 years. I guarantee you that.
Mr. President,
they're
going to
play a very hard ball game,
tonight.
And they did that before.
Bobby Petrino has been waiting very patiently.
Sure.
He's a student at St. Anselm. He's a member of College Republicans. He's an undeclared voter right now. He supported you in 2020. Bobby, what's your question for President Trump?
Hi, thank you for coming. This is a bit of a pivot, but with gun violence and mass shootings in the news cycle recently, I'm worried that state governments and the federal government are going to act to repress gun rights. Under your administration, you instructed the Department of Justice and the ATF to ban bump stocks. If elected president again, how would you act not only to defend our Second Amendment rights, but to restore rights that have been taken from us, such as, by example, recently the ATF's ruling on the pistol stabilizing braces?
Yeah, as you know, the bump stocks are actually a very unimportant thing. And NRA, I went with them, and they said it doesn't mean anything. They were actually, all they do is teach you how to shoot very inaccurately. So we did that. There's been nobody that's protected the Second Amendment, as you know, like I have. I protected it through thick and thin, not easy to do. But we have a very big mental health problem in this country. And again, it's not the gun that pulls the trigger. It's the person that pulls the trigger. And we have to protect our Second Amendment. We have to protect our Second Amendment.
Mr. President, you dealt with a lot of mass shootings when...
Alrighty, we are back. I think we're back, right? Is that the end of it? Okay, very good, yeah. And so, there you go. What do you think, John McTernan? Does this sound like like President Trump was in complete control in that town hall meeting?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I was only able, when I followed it online there, I was only able to listen to about 5 minutes, 8 minutes, which is very good what I listened to. A lot of this I didn't hear, and I mean, he brutalized her with truth. really. It was no wonder CNN is melting down. I mean, there was so much that he brought out. I mean, it was so good, Pastor Ernie. I think you could play it again. I'd like to listen to it twice. It was like she was a little kid. She could not handle him at all. He just ignored her and got the truth out. I love that about Pence. When he brought that out about Pence, and he was kind. He said, "I like Mike," but he was wrong in all of this.
But he absolutely was. Mike did when it was time to do the right thing. When it was time to do it, he failed. He didn't cut it.
These politicians are so arrogant. Now he thinks he wants to run for president.
Yeah, Mike Pence. Yeah, I know. He's talking about it. He'll go no place.
They don't live in reality. They live an alternative universe, Pastor Ernie. Seriously, that they're living in like their own delusions as politicians.
Yeah, I know. And there's no way. You know, there's a term, and I try to remember what that term was we used. It's been used. I know what it is. It's called misprism. Misprism of treason. Misprism of treason. And that's a term that's been used. And with that, it's a law that's been here in this country from the very beginning. In other words, well, John, you know about it, being a former U.S. Treasury agent. If someone is committing treason against the country, high treason, and you're aware of it, you're aware that they're doing that. If you do not report them, then you're considered to be a part of that treason. And that's what that word means.
Mr. Ernie, you're stretching my mind on this, but I think, I don't know about a citizen, but I think for sure government officials have to report it. They have to. I'm not sure if the average citizen has to do that.
If it's treason, even the average citizen is supposed to report that.
Well, it could be. It could be, Pastor Andy, but I know as a government official, if you're aware of treason, you must report it. Otherwise, it's a serious felony.
So standing in front of Mike Pence was Josh Hawley, was Jim Jordan, was a whole group of Republicans. In their hands, they had all of the documentation right in their hands of treason, of election fraud. Now, what Mike could have done if he had only said, look, I'm not going to certify this. I want to take a look at what they have first, and we'll come back here in 10 days. He had the obligation to do that. That was his obligation to do that. And Trump was absolutely right. Right afterwards, they met the rhinos, and they met to make sure that a vice president doesn't have, no longer has the authority to do that.
They changed the law, yeah.
They changed the law. And so Trump was...
Well, Mr. Ernie, let's say you're the vice president and you're a man of integrity, right?
Right.
Yeah. Ernie Sanders, Vice President Ernie Sanders, and you're put in Pence's place, right?
Right.
And let's say there is a law that you can't, he has to do what they're saying, he has to do, what they're saying he has to do. You, as the Vice President of Integrity, you would say, I'm not going to sign this. I know that there is a reasonable, extremely reasonable cause that this fraud in this election, and you might mention the states, Arizona, Georgia, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, there was, I think, another one in there.
Michigan,
and
big
I'm
time.
I'm not going to certify this because it's fraudulent. All right, so you're not going to sign it. And now it's got the whole political system upside down on its head.
Yeah.
You could have done that. He could have done that.
That was what he was supposed to have done.
Kindness.
Right. But he failed.
And you had Senator Cruz. There was three other senators that also made statements like that. There was House members, but Senator Cruz, and I know there was two or three other senators, also said that there were irregularities and that it should be like a week, you know, it should be come back in a week while we go over this. Right, Pastor Ernie?
Well, absolutely right, but not only that, but you had constitutional lawyers. Cruz was one of those. What's the other one? I'm having a senior moment. And it's funny because the guy actually defended me in a case years ago.
Jay Sekulow.
And yeah, these people all come out and tell you that exactly what Trump said is exactly right. And these, you know, constitutional lawyers. So, but you're just not going to hear that. There was the Democrats are so corrupt. I mean, they are corrupt as corrupt gets. You can't get any more corrupt than they are. It would be impossible. They're totally, completely corrupted. So Mike had the opportunity. Remember when it came to the sodomite marriage bill in Indiana? And Mike Pence
says, I remember that, Pastor Ernie. That opened my eyes to him as being a gutless politician.
He said, I will not vote for that. I will not sign that. I will not. And then they put the pressure on him. And he caved. Right away he caved and signed it. And so, yeah. This is why he's, you know, this is why he's winning at, what, 3% or something like that in the polls?
Yeah, but what is it in them that they're not living in reality? Trump is more popular now than, his popularity hasn't lessened. So what makes him think Trump's base is going to vote for him?
Well, see, they don't care. What they're caring about is, well, no, Pence knows that Trump's base won't vote for him. He knows that. But what I'm saying that the Democrats are already bragging, and they're already saying, Joe, go back in the basement, stay there, we'll rig the election. We'll rig like we did before. They're already amongst themselves talking about how they're going to rig this election. And the Republicans don't seem to know what to do about it.
They're just sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah. And so...
Well, Pastor Ernie... They had every opportunity during the election to make a stand and unify around President Trump, but they didn't.
Yep.
They sold him out. Look what they did in the Republican Party in Pennsylvania. Brother John Holman brought out how the rhinos, the Republican Party is almost all rhinos in Pennsylvania, and they sold Trump out.
Look they did to Kerry Lake in Arizona. Same thing.
Well, Kerry Lake actually won a big victory in that court. It wasn't reported that she'd won, but...
But, I mean, there's no support whatsoever by the Republicans.
Right.
They are
and that governor,
gutless.
The governor there in Georgia, Kemp?
Yeah.
I mean, what a disgrace that guy is.
Yeah, I still contend they're worse than the Democrats because the Democrats are... bent on destroying the country. That's their platform. That's what they do. That's their principles. The Republicans, all they do is sit on the sidelines. They're part of the same team, and then they tell us, oh, you better vote for us every 2 years or else the Democrats are going to do this.
You just described Chris Christie.
Yeah.
That would be exactly what the...
I mean, it's nothing but lip service, but they do nothing.
Yep. That's the problem we have is with the rhinos.
Yeah.
The traitor Tories.
Yep.
But we got to bring America back to one nation under God. And, we're doing is we're working real hard. We need to get, Trump is absolutely right. We've been saying this for years. We need to go back to paper ballots and hand counts. Paper ballots and hand counts.
And you vote on one day.
Right, one-day vote, one-day election.
And then the vote should be tallied at the end of the day, not 2 weeks later.
The Democratic Party is totally criminal. It's a total criminal party, and the only way they can win things is through criminal activity. And that's just the reality of it.
Yeah.
You know, John, you know, if I, you know, if I could have a wish, I would like to someday get down, go into the halls of Congress when Congress is in session, lock the doors where they couldn't get out, and really preach them about that burning lake of fire. Because, you know, God's Word in the Bible says all liars, all liars, all liars will have their place in that lake of fire. And, boy, I would love to get in there. I'd love to get a hold of Adam Schiff. This guy has become one of the best liars they have. They're even saying he's one of their best liars, okay? And just really preach them until their hair catches on fire. You know, the Word of God does not return void. It don't. And you can see the fear in their eyes when you start preaching to them. That's why those witches, when I was singing that song to them, Burning Lake of Fire, when they called and said I was terrorizing them. Boy, when you preach the gospel from the Bible to a Democrat, that is terrorizing them. We'll be back after this.
Welcome to God's world. Start here.
Miracles start here.
He'll take away your sin.
Take away your sin.
Open up your heart.
Open up your heart.
Leave your fears behind.
Leave them all behind.
You'll be living there.
You'll be living there.
Until the for you and I that he was crucified.
All right, there you go. Listen, we're going to open the phone lines at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. I wanted to announce one more time. This coming Sunday, Doers of the Word Baptist Church will only have a morning service, not an evening service, on Mother's Day. And so we're going to go and take some calls, and let's go out to San Diego. It's Jack again. Hey, Jack. Hey, Jack, are you there? San Diego. Yeah, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
All right. So there's many places in California that still have a moratorium on evictions. Some landlords have gone 3 years without collecting rent, and there's no end in sight. So these commies have a whole different view of property and property rights, and I fully expect that they'll declare some state of emergency and they'll use private homes, force them to house these migrants. And even though the Third Amendment states that you cannot quarter troops in a private home without the homeowner's permission. Clearly, the founders were protecting property rights. But you have this communist mentality that under a state of emergency, it suspends the Constitution and they can virtually do anything they want to do. But I think the justice system is so corrupt at this point, and everything has been so corrupted and turned upside down, is that the only way you're going to straighten this mess out is martial law. I don't think private citizens are going to be able to do it. These commies are so entrenched and have so much power that, well, you just see what happened to the people that were at the Capitol on January the 6th. The whole justice system has been corrupted. I really believe it's up to the military, and it's going to take martial law to get things done. I mean, can you imagine? We act so helpless at the border that we can't stop these people from coming in. We have no obligation to take any of them, even on asylum. All that can be canceled. But imagine the country of Taiwan, how frightened they must be when they see that we won't protect our own border. Surely they must know that we're not going to protect them from China. We're not going to protect Taiwan's border. So China, anytime you want, come on down, take Taiwan. We're not going to stop you.
Well, you're right, but let me tell you, too, not only that, look, Biden and these people, Biden would have no problem sacrificing our troops. He would have no problem using our troops as fodder. And you have people like Milley and Austin in there. These people are not on the side of, these are traitors. These people are treasonous people. And so, I mean, look, you know, what do they want to, what do they promote? Drag queens, okay? Look what they've done to our military. They're destroying our military right now. For a recruitment, they have drag queens for a recruitment. They're destroying, look, we just had the one big manufacturer that makes all of the gunpowder for the ammunition for our military hasn't been making gunpowder for the last 2 years. They're totally depleting our guns, our ammunition. They're not on our side. And what I think you're going to have to see, I think, John, you're going to end up seeing probably vigilantes. What do you think, John?
Well, I mean, we're breaking down as a society, Pastor Ernie. For your question, look at Detroit, look at Seattle and Portland and many of these other parts of Chicago now. I mean, the government's not defending the people. They're not defending them.
No.
And in New York City, you know, the criminals, people get arrested for defending themselves against criminals. So, yeah, people are going to have to, it's going to come down to have to defend ourselves, Pastor.
Absolutely.
Now, all the areas, it's not like that. I mean, it's not the whole country. It's areas that the Democrats have control. They have seized control. They've had it for, Philadelphia, for example, Pastor Ernie. Philadelphia, the Democrats have corruptly controlled that city, the voting for. When I moved to Pennsylvania in 1986, Philadelphia was known then as whatever amount of votes they needed to win an election, they would put phony votes through Philadelphia. So when the Democrats are in control like that, what are the average people going to do? It'll come down to having to defend themselves and get out of those areas, Bester, and flee them.
All right, very good. All right, well, thanks for calling. Who do we have next there? Let's go to John. John, you're in the air.
Yes, I think there's a massive campaign, I know there is, it's been documented by the media, to absolutely overwhelm any of the truth that's coming out from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and even top whistleblowers, insiders, from the horse's mouth, like Michael Yaden, the chief scientist of Pfizer, who has been exposing the dangers of these vaccines and the corruption of Big Pharma over our government, our politicians, the CDC, and the FDA. And there's a massive campaign I'm seeing now of using their vast funds of their connections to the military-industrial CIA media complex to put phony sock puppet disinformation and calling anyone who tells the truth about vaccines or anything else the disinformers. It's overwhelming. And I think people are going to be misled by this if they don't check out some alternate truth sources like globalresearch.ca and one of their most important articles called The Gladio Crimes of the U.S. Empire, Gladio Crimes of the U.S. Empire. If we want to find out who has been bringing in the drugs into this country, it has been the CIA. And I must say, under Reagan, at the time of being responsible for funding...
All right, we're losing him. Can you bring him up? Okay, very good. All right, well, thanks for calling, John. Who do we have next there? All right, Zoe, you're in the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, I think if people realize the comparison of the immigrants that are coming in, we already have the entire state of Illinois. That's how many people who live in Illinois is also the amount of immigrants that's come into our country. They've already saturated one of our states.
Yeah, you know what? While they're doing that too, Zoe, you're having a big migration of the people in Illinois are moving out of Illinois. They're going to red states. At the same time, they're bringing in more and more illegals.
But well, yes, they're bringing in, Pastor, but people cannot realize, if everyone in the state of Illinois realized that an immigrant could be standing at their door and saying, take a hike.
Yeah, well, you've got a governor that's a communist there. And
yes.
I mean,
why doesn't our Republicans get off their duff?
Good question. You know, that's a very good question there.
They've been stuck on their duff for decades, really.
Yeah. Pastor Ernie, can I answer
sure.
that?
Yeah, go ahead.
They're not principled. They don't have they're typical politicians. The Democrats, they're communists. They're woke. They have these principles, and they'll do anything to get them to get the conclusion they want. The Republicans, their thing is to get elected. Really,
re-elected every 2 years.
I understand their prostitution to the perks. I get that, but I think Trump could come up and say term limits, because once it gets 2-3 terms, they're going to stay there no matter what, even if it means to compromise their integrity or whatever. It's really quite a very cushy job, you know.
Yeah, I know, and it's no longer do we have government of the people, by the people, for the people. It's against the people. And you're right. We've got to get rid of these deep deadbeats. And you know, at least the Democrats we know are our enemies. They're anti-Christ.
Pastor, can I ask you one more question?
Sure. Go ahead.
Why is it that the Republicans are standing there and they're just, you know, they're just flabbing off and they're just being grandiose and whatever, and every one of them that's come up to be questioned is just filled. They're just stonewalling. I mean, it's like a game for them to get their faces on the media.
Well, we've got to be fair, though.
When does it close, and when does it go to the next step?
Well, we got to be fair, because we have a number of people like Jim Jordan, like Josh Hawley, like Ted Cruz, like Matt Gaetz, and a number of the like Little Mrs. Green, Marjorie Green, we have a number that will stand and fight. Okay, and they
yeah, but they're alone. I mean, it's a small number.
Well, it's because the people need to support them. See, we had a problem out here. Don't you remember? We had a problem. I went on the radio and I was warning people because in the Rhino party in our own county, they were sending out leaflets, flyers to the Democrats, asking the Democrats to register to vote in the primary as a Republican, to run as a Republican.
Yeah.
And so this is where your Rhinos come from. They're Democrats with an R behind their name. So
you're absolutely right, Pastor Ernie. That is so true. They're just, they're like moles.
Yeah.
They really are. I mean, they're just in there and they're turncoats.
Well, you're right, Zoe. Zoe, listen, I don't know if you're a mother, but if you are or not, have a happy Mother's Day anyhow. All righty. We have what? Okay, this will be the last call. We have Mary Grace. Hey, Mary Grace. Hey, Mary Grace, are you there?
Yes.
Well, hello.
Hi. You sound good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yes, it's very low. And
I know that. I don't know what's going on.
They're playing with my phones, but I've been calling people all day. And I'm telling them, you understand, they're not taking our land. I called all the council. I've called the right people for the right job. But you sound great, and I've been praying for you.
Thank you so much.
Because God wants you well, but I want you to know one thing. This IRS has not been honest. They spent $3.5 billion on guns. Now, who are those for? You understand? This IRS is a bunch of hooey. They want this money. And I'm not playing this. I will use my golf club. I have no guns. But I support the amendment, and I support the Constitution. God help us all.
Thank you, Mary Grace. God bless you. And have a blessed... Okay, this will have to be very quick. Alex, you're the last caller.
Okay, thank you. I'll keep it very brief. First off, this is in regards to your previous caller. If she wants to support the anti-war movement, go to OccupyPeace.com. That is Occupy Peace. We don't have a left party. We don't have a right party. We have a war party. You had Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell on the same day voting to send $1.2 billion to Ukraine. If anyone wants to fact check me, please listen to Gerald Salente or Judge Andrew Napolitano. Bless you, Pastor Sanders, and bless everyone listening. You guys are doing God's work. We need to pray together. Love you all. Bless you all. Thank you. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you very, very much. God bless. And now you have about 6 minutes, I believe you have. So can you give an invitation, John, in 6 minutes?
Well, Pastor Ernie, yes, I can. And in the invitation, I want to start off by repenting for the nation what we've done to offend the Lord with the Supreme Court decisions that have come down, the evil. The God's word warns in Leviticus and other chapters not to go down the road America's doing with sexual sin. We have legalized sodomy as a marriage, offending directly against God's word. And now we see the gates of hell have been opened up in America. There's a direct connection between what we have done legally here in America and the state we're in now. So that shows, folks, that there is a right and a wrong, that God does bless and curse nations. Blessed is nation whose God is the Lord. The Lord is no longer over America. He's over us as individuals, but our nation has turned its back. So this is reality. The Bible was showing you the authority of God's word, how he's dealing with America right now. And so to be on the right side, to be on God's side, we need to repent of sin. Pastor Ernie before was talking about being justified when we open the show up. It's like you've never sinned, justified, just as if I've never sinned, justified. And to be like that, we have to go through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. the life of the flesh is in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So it takes repentance. That's the first step. Repentance is an act of the will, turning away from having a life without Christ to turning to a life with him, centered around him and his word, believing that you've sinned and the penalty for sin is death. And God sent Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, sinless, to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sin, shed his blood, so you could be justified. God is willing to have us wipe the slate clean, folks. Justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Amazing. So God is holy on one side, but he's forgiving and loving on the other. But it has to be God's way. If you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have to pay your own penalty for sin, which is eternity in a horrible place called hell. So you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his blood to pay the price for your sin, and on the third day, he bodily rose again. That's critical. The two points for salvation is confession of Christ as your Savior, that he died on the cross and shed his blood, and he rose again the third day. So the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Anyone listening out there is a whosoever. If you now repent and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and believe he rose from the dead, you will be saved. God becomes your Abba Father, and you can start a brand new relationship with God with the assurance of eternal life because of what Christ did for you. Pastor Ernie, how much time is left?
About 1 minute.
Oh, wow. I got a whole minute left. All right. And there's more to it. When we look at Luke 4:18, it's the ministry of Jesus Christ. And not only did he come for salvation, but he also, he said in his word, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So not only can you have salvation right now, but a broken heart can be healed. A heart that is full of fear, a heart that is full of mourning and sorrow and grief, that's all signs of a broken heart. It's self-condemnation that you don't, not that you're a narcissist, but you don't accept yourself. You don't have love for yourself that God has for you. That's a sign of a broken heart. Tremendous loneliness is a sign of a broken heart. Vivid memories of bad things that happened. They're in your mind and they go over them. That's a sure sign of a broken heart. So let me pray real quick. Father, I bring everybody before you with a broken heart, and I'm asking in Jesus' name that you heal those broken hearts. A new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I will take the stony heart out of the flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Father, heal the stony hearts of all our listeners and give them hearts of flesh.
Thank you, John. We're out of time for tonight, so we have to say good night. God bless, and always, always
keep
fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.